All right, I'd like you to take the Word of God with me, please. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 2, the book of Romans, chapter 2. This is Easter Sunday, and I know what you're going to think when I preach. What in the world does this have to do with the resurrection? If you'll stay with me to the end of the message, you'll see exactly what it has to do with it. I want to be a preacher that preaches what God lays on my heart. And this message, I cannot get away from it. So I want to be submissive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter number 2, we'll begin our reading in verse number 1. I told my class this morning that somewhere in the Bible, it's underlying, it's not verbatim, but it's underlying. It says, "Thou shalt have thy preacher over to your house for supper." And one of the members of my class said, "I found it in the book of Zacchaeus." Now, folks, I don't understand that, save my life. Zacchaeus is not a book, by the way. I told that gentleman, that's probably your problem. You probably think there is a book of Zacchaeus. Yes. I don't like my class very much, I'll be honest with you. I'm just kidding with you. I'm trying to get you to laugh because you're not going to be laughing here in a few minutes, I'll guarantee it. Okay. Romans chapter number 2. It's good to have good, clean fun with one another. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord for it. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. We are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" In other words, you're despising God's mercy and God's goodness, not understanding that he's simply being gracious to you because he wants you to repent. Verse 5, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds." Skip to verse number 11, "for there's no respect of persons with God." And verse 16 says, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." Now, if you mark your Bible, I want you to mark a phrase in verse number 5. It's the last phrase of that verse. It's the phrase, "the righteous judgment of God." The righteous judgment of God. And may I say to you, and you'll see this later when I get to it close to the conclusion, that the judgment of God has much to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because he arose, we will be judged. We see that in the book of Acts. I'll get to it later. But today I want to preach to you on the righteous judgment of God. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the assurance in our heart that we know that our Savior lives. And I pray that as we come to this chapter and we meditate and preach on these thoughts, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. May you draw somebody to yourself today. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you've ever been to a trial in court and watched as lawyers present their cases. These lawyers' job is to convince the judge and jury that they're telling the truth. And many times, justice has been served. However, there have been other times when the judge and jury have clearly made the wrong decision. Sad to say, but many murderers and thieves and drunkards and lawbreakers and abusers have so-called gotten off down here. Sometimes, even more sad to say, the judge and jury have been paid off in their judging. Some have gotten off, get this now, folks, because of unrighteous judgment. But there is coming a day when all of us will be righteously judged. As a matter of fact, I don't want you to think about anybody but yourself today, because in the future there are two judgments that await. There's the judgment for the child of God, which is known as the Bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. Now, thank God, we who are saved, we who know the Lord as our Savior, we will never be judged for our sin, because our sin was judged in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're saved, you will not be judged for your sin, but you will be judged for your works and the motives of your works. I'm telling you that it's not going to be a cakewalk when God's children, thank God we're saved, and go into the Bema seat, but I am not looking forward to the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. But if you are not saved, then you will not go to the judgment seat. You will go to what the Bible calls the great white throne judgment. That is the judgment for all non-believers, and the sentence will be the same for everybody. Depart from me, God will say, ye cursed, into the lake of fire. I never knew you. In other words, there's two judgments coming, one for the unbeliever and one for the believer. Thank God, at least today, I'm going to the one that is for believers. I'm not going to the great white throne. I'm going to the judgment seat. But my date with God is going to be a righteous date. I'll guarantee it. Now, today, I want to talk to you about this judgment of God. If you're lost, I hope you see yourself as such. If you're saved, I hope you see yourself on your way to the Bema seat of Jesus Christ. Thank God, eternity is going to be worth it. And when we see the Lord, it's going to be worth it. But I'm not looking forward to my judgment, friends. I'm really not. And this being the case, I want to look at this judgment together. We don't know when this judgment's taking place, but we do know the one thing is that this judgment will be righteous. Because on that day, there'll be no jury. There'll be no lawyers, there'll be no payoffs, no deceptions, no mistakes, and no wrong decisions, because Psalm 50 verse 6 says, God is judge himself. On that day, my friends, the truth will be revealed. Psalm 96, 10 and 13. He shall judge the people righteously. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Genesis 18, 25. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Job 34, 12. Yea, surely God will not do wickedly, neither will the Almighty pervert judgment. John 5, 30. Jesus said, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. John 8, 16, Jesus said, my judgment is true. 2 Timothy 4, 8 says, the Lord, the righteous judge. Take heed, my friends, your court date and my court date has been set. The one living in pleasure instead of living for God will answer for it on that day. The one who professes to be a Christian but lives like the world, they will answer for it on that day. The one who knows the truth but will not accept the truth and reject Jesus Christ, they will answer for it on that day. The one who never surrendered to God, they will answer for it on that day. The righteous judgment of God is coming. It could be today. Sometimes court cases read Stevenson versus the people or Jones versus the state of Texas. But on that day, it'll be your name and my name versus God. Now, friends, today I want to give you three things about the righteous judgment of God. Now, I'm glad we serve a risen Savior. Thank God that He is alive and doing well. And because of that, there are so many great things. We're going to see our saved loved ones again. We're going to see the Lord again. We're going to live for all eternity. But today, I'm giving you one of the things that also is a result of the resurrection. And that is, we have a date with God. And that being the case, three things about this judgment, all right here in Romans chapter 2. First of all, we notice that this judgment is inescapable. We see this in verses 1 to 3. Let's note it again. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that doest that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Now notice verse 3 closely. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? The first thing we notice in these verses is that the righteous judgment of God is inescapable. It means that it cannot be avoided, it cannot be ignored, and it cannot be denied. You cannot get out of it, you cannot reschedule it, and you cannot postpone it. When God calls your name, you will be there. I read many years ago that 4 out of 5 Americans believe that they're going to be judged by God. I have a hard time believing that that's a true statement. Well, let's just say that it is true that 4 out of 5 believe that they have a judgment with God. Let me ask you a question. What about the 5th one who doesn't believe? Are you listening? God's going to judge them as well as the other 4 because God's not asking our permission. He's telling us this is what's going to take place. Psalm 96:13. For he cometh to judge the earth, he shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Matthew 12:36. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Matthew 25:31-32. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon his throne, upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. That includes America, and that includes you, and that includes me. This man's name was Richard Slyhoff. This man many, many years ago heard that he had a date with God and that God was going to judge him for his life. When he heard this, here's what this man thought. This man's crazy, but here's what he thought. It's almost comical. He thought to himself, I know the Bible teaches about an earthquake somewhere in some place. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go find me a place. And so he went out and he found a place with a large boulder, a large rock that was leaning at a 75 degree angle like this. And he thought to himself, I'm going to buy this piece of property. Because what's going to happen, I'm going to die, and I'm going to request that they bury me under this rock, because when that earthquake takes place, it's going to rattle this rock loose, that large rock will fall on my carcass, and God will never find me. That's what he thought. So he bought that piece of land, and he died, and they buried him under that rock. Are you listening? Under time and over time, that rock went from 75 degrees and began to move upright just like this. Are you listening to me? That man had already had, are you listening to me? He already knew that he was wrong as soon as he closed his eyes in death. But could it be that God moved that rock for you? Could it be that God moved that rock upright for me to let us know that even the rocks obey him? You cannot get out of your righteous judgment with God. Ecclesiastes 11:9 says, walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. In other words, if you want to do what you want to do, go ahead. You want to look at anything, go ahead. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Ecclesiastes 12:14. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Folks, many may get off down here, but there's nobody getting off up there. His name was Sam Jones, a mighty preacher. He's with the Lord now. He went home one day. His wife said to him, Sam, I want you to go see the old sheriff. He's dying. Sam said to his wife, honey, you know he's never believed in God. He claims to be an infidel. He says he's an atheist. But his wife said, but honey, I still want you to go see him. So Sam Jones later told the story, and here's how it went. He said, I went to see him, and I asked, Sheriff, are you afraid to die? He answered and said, Sam, I've always told you I wasn't afraid to die. Sam said, I knelt down a little closer to him and asked, but Sheriff, what about the judgment? And this man who claimed to be an atheist and an infidel, he said this, excuse me. But he said, my God, I hadn't thought of that. Let me ask you a question. Have you thought about your judgment with God? I guarantee you probably didn't wake up today and say, God's going to judge me someday. I'm telling you that the devil has put a blindfold on people's minds and spiritually speaking to where they think that this message right here is a bunch of junk. The world would laugh at me for preaching this message. But they also laughed at Noah, didn't they? And they also laughed at Lot. And they also laughed at Jesus. But all the judgments came just like Jesus said. I'm telling you, it's inescapable. Number 2, the righteous judgment of God is not only inescapable, but number 2, it's impartial. We see this in verse 6 and verse 11. Notice it. It says, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Look at verse 11. For there's no respect of persons with God. Now this word impartial means he's not partial or biased. He's going to treat everybody fairly. In other words, it doesn't matter who you are, you will be judged for your life. Ecclesiastes 3:17 says, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. Proverbs 29:26, every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. 1 Corinthians 3:13, every man's work should be made manifest. Hebrews 12:23, and to God, the judge of all. What I mean here is it makes no difference what your name is. Makes no difference how much money you have, how big your house is, what kind of car you drive, whether you're rich or poor, known or unknown, whether you live in the biggest mansion or whether you live in the lowest gutter, everybody will be judged for their own life. You know, I like to picture this. This is not going to happen this way, but this is just to paint a picture of what I'm trying to say to you. Let's just pretend that this is the heavenly waiting room, and right past this door right here, we see heavenly courtroom, and we know right beyond that door right there is the throne of Almighty God, and He is sitting in there, and He's calling people for their judgment days, and they know when they go through that He will do what's right. It's righteous judgment. He makes no mistakes. And I can imagine people's names being called off. I can imagine names such as Annas and Caiaphas or Pontius Pilate or Judas Iscariot or Pharaoh or the rich man in Luke 16 or Voltaire or Adolf Hitler or Marilyn Manson or on and on and on we can go, but this point is not about focusing on others. You know what I see? I see myself sitting down here. And I all of a sudden hear, Jody Jenkins, would you stand to your feet and make your way to the heavenly courtroom? Your date has arrived, and you will be there. Let me ask you a question. If God called your name next, are you ready? Somebody says, I'm not saved, and I don't care. You'll change that attitude when God calls your name, friends. I'm telling you that God is a gracious God. My son asked me this yesterday. I was out visiting with him. Had a great time with him. Great bonding time between a father and a son. He began to talk about the Lord coming back. I like it when my boy starts talking about spiritual things. He's nine. He just turned nine last Sunday. He said, Jody. Well, not Jody, but Daddy. If he'd have said that, I guess we wouldn't have had too much bonding, but maybe in another way. He said, Daddy, he said, why doesn't Jesus just come on back? He's excited about going to heaven. He really is. He told me this. Why don't you just come on back? Why don't you just come on back now? And I had the privilege of telling him, let me tell you why he's not come back, son. Because he's a gracious God. And he's leaving the door open for people who are lost to be saved. If you really see yourself with God calling your name, and your friends aren't going to be there, your family's not going to be there. In other words, the ones that might be keeping you from making the decision for Christ, they're not going to be there with you, friends. You're going to stand before God yourself. And if He looks at you and says, depart from me into the lake of fire, I never knew you. You will not care what anybody thinks of you at that point, friends. So why care now? There's a story told of a man. This is back whenever cars weren't invented yet, and they were pulling wagons with horses. The story was told of a man standing on the street corner. He was speaking, and there was a runaway team of horses that had broken away from its owner, and they were racing down that dirt road. This man who was out of the way, he was oblivious to this runaway team of horses, and as he was speaking, he stepped out into the roadway speaking to somebody or something like this, and that runaway team of horses was getting closer and closer to him. There was a man who saw this and saw it in time and ran and grabbed this man and pulled him to safety as that runaway team of horses ran right by the place where they would have crushed him to death. This man who was saved, in other words, the man who would have been killed, can you imagine? He got up that day, and that very night he went out and got in trouble. He got in trouble with the law, and they arrested him, and he was in court the next day. Can you imagine? And as he was standing in court, the judge walked in. And the man who was accused recognized him. He was the man who pulled him to safety the night before. In other words, the judge was the man who saved his life just the day before. The judge was getting ready to pass sentence, and this man, can't you see him? He started pleading. He's like, please, judge, don't you recognize? Look at my face. I'm the man you saved last night. Look at me. And here's what that judge said. Don't miss it. He said, sir, last night I was your savior. But at this moment, I'm your judge. Sit down. You know, it's one thing to have Jesus as a savior, and he is the savior. But it's another ball game when he's the judge. Are you ready? You really ready? Somebody says, I don't believe it. As loving as I know how, it makes no difference what you believe. Because God doesn't say, I'm going to judge you if you believe it. He simply says, you have a date with me, you better get ready for it. Number one, this righteous judgment of God is inescapable. Number two, it is impartial. Number three, it is impending. Now, what's that mean? Look at verse number 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. God says in this chapter, it's in the day. It's in the day. It's in the day. Question, when is that day? Nobody knows, friends. Nobody knows. That day could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be 50 years from now. It could be 500 years from now. But every day is potentially the day that God was speaking of in Romans 2, verse 16. I don't know much, but I know this. I know that every day that comes and goes, we're one day closer. Boy, that's deep, isn't it? Everybody understand that? We're closer to the judgment today than we were yesterday. You're closer to the judgment right now than you were during the Sunday school hour. You're closer to the judgment right now than when I just made that statement just previous. Every moment, what this word impending means, it means it's coming. It's likely to happen soon. It's getting closer and getting closer and getting closer. It means it's overhanging. It's imminent. It's about to occur. It's to hover threateningly. My wife and I can't remember if we had Judson at this time or not, but we were traveling to a meeting down in Florida. This is when I was traveling in evangelism some. Have you ever been involved whenever you're riding down the road and it's bone dry here, but right up in front of you is a monsoon? You know what I'm talking about. I mean, that's what it was. We were on the interstate on 75 going down towards Florida, and there was not a drop of anything right here where I'm driving, but right up in front of us, you could see it. I mean, there it is, my friend. And as we were getting closer to it, it was getting closer to us. It was moving our direction. We were moving that direction. And then there came a moment when it hit the windshield. And just to tell you how bad it was, a man had to pull the car off on the side of the road. Now, a man will not do that unless he knows he's in danger, friends. I couldn't see. I had to pull off. That's what the word impending means. It means as you're going this way, it's coming this way, and you are getting closer and closer and closer, and the least moment when you expect it is when it hits. That's impending. And I'm telling you, this is what the judgment of God is going to be. Every year, every month, every day, every hour, every minute, every second, every moment, we are getting closer and closer and closer. Acts 17:31, I'll bring this out later, but it says, he hath appointed a day, in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. 1 Corinthians 4:5, therefore judge nothing before the time. When's the time? Until the Lord come, who will bring to light, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. 2 Peter 3:7, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved in the fire against the day of judgment. God calls it the day of judgment, day of judgment, day of judgment, and perdition of ungodly men. James 5:9 puts it this way, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. That means he's at the door and he can step through it any moment he desires. Friends, our righteous judgment day is inescapable. You cannot get out of it. It is impartial. You will be judged for your life. If you are saved, rest assured you're going to heaven for all eternity. Glory. But you will stand before the judgment seat for your works and the motives of them. If you're not saved, I'm telling you that it's inescapable and impartial. God will not let one unsaved person into heaven. It's a guaranteed fact. He makes no mistakes. And it's impending. It could be today. That's why you should never put off something for God. Because now's the accepted time. Judgment is coming. How close are you right now? Now, I told you I was going to show you this, and I want to keep my word. Flip to Acts chapter 17 just a moment. I'm slowly coming down for a landing here, but emphasis there is on slowly. I'm slowly coming down for a landing. What does this have to do with the resurrection? What does me being judged impartially, and it's impending, it's coming any time, and I can't get out of it, it's inescapable. What does that have to do with the resurrection? Look at Acts chapter 17, verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at. Acts 17, 30. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now notice verse 31 closely. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. He's talking about the Lord Jesus. In other words, he's saying in verse 30, he's winking at all these ungodly things. He's commanding people, get right with me, repent, trust Christ as your Savior. And he says in verse 31, to follow it up, because I've appointed a day in the which I'm going to judge the world in righteousness by that man. Then he goes on to say, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men. Assurance of what? Assurance of judgment. Assurance that he will judge by righteousness. He will judge by Jesus Christ. And he says, I've given assurance to all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. It says right here that God has given assurance to all men that they have a date with God and righteous judgment coming, and he sealed it and gave assurance and gave the promise when he raised Jesus from the dead. I'm telling you that the resurrection of Jesus Christ causes God's children to rejoice in all these good things, but it also tells the world there's something coming that is not to rejoice about. It is the judgment day with God. And I gave you assurance of this, that this is my word, and I will do this because I raised my boy from the dead. And let me deal with Christians, and then let me deal with the lost, and we're closing. Keep your Bible open. Look right up here at me just a moment, if you wouldn't mind. Christian, first of all, how awful would it be to meet him unprepared? Now, thank God if you're saved, you're going to go to heaven for all eternity. But how awful would it be to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and have no works? Or the motive of your works is not right. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. They all here are Christians. We must all appear. All Christians appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. But really, the main thrust of this message is not for Christians. Thank God we're not going to be judged for our sin. Amen. But if you are lost, and this is the main thrust, how awful would it be to meet God at the great white throne judgment? How awful would it be to listen to the world and listen to peers and listen to family members and listen to co-workers and say no to God? And finally, God says, okay, that's it. Come on. When he says, come, you will go. Reminded of the story of a young girl who was living an ungodly life. This is a true story. Preacher ought to tell true stories, amen. This is a true story. This young girl had had enough of her mom and dad. She was a young single girl, and she wanted to live her own life, go her own way, do her own things. She was tired of living under the rules of her mom and dad. So she left home, began to live it up, have the time of her life, so she thought, until one day she contracted a disease that was going to take her life. While she was lying in the hospital bed, her mother was there with her. Can you imagine? Her mother was there with her, and her daughter just laid out, just kind of out of it. And they tell the story that not long after this, that this girl just sat up in her bed. She just sat up in her bed and she said, "Mama, what does Ezekiel 7, 8, and 9 say?" The mother said, "Excuse me, honey, what are you saying?" She said, "What does Ezekiel 7, 8, and 9 say? I can't get it out of my mind. For some reason, Ezekiel chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. Get a Bible, read it. God speaking to me is something. What's it say?" Can you imagine the mother, maybe with a glimmer of hope? So she grabs a Bible and turns to Ezekiel 7, 8, and 9. Don't turn to it, but listen to these verses. And she read these verses to her dying daughter. "Now will I shortly pour out my fury upon thee, and accomplish mine anger upon thee. And I will judge thee according to thy ways, and will recompense thee for all thine abominations. Mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will recompense thee according to thy ways, and thine abominations that are in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I am the Lord that smiteth." She read those verses to her dying daughter, and a look of horror came over her daughter's face. She collapsed back into the bed, and she died. Somebody says, that's unfair. I thought God was a God of pity. He was a God of pity, but not forever. She said no one too many times, and God said, "That's it." God is a God of grace. God is a God of love. He is a God of mercy. Aren't you glad He's a God of grace and a God of mercy and patience? But His patience will eventually run out, my friends. And if God's patience runs out on you, it's over. It's finished. I've told this story before. I'm going to tell it again. I think it's appropriate here. The story is told of two teenagers that were sitting in a meeting like this. They were laughing and mocking and making fun of the preacher. They were preaching a message. I think this could have been Tom Farrell. I'm not sure which preacher it was, but it was somebody like him. They were preaching an evangelistic message, a gospel message, and they were mocking and making fun. And it was probably a girlfriend. I know it was a young man and a young lady. I don't know if it was a brother and sister or boyfriend and girlfriend. I think it was a boyfriend and girlfriend, but that doesn't matter. When all of a sudden, while he was preaching, the young man took out a hymnal and wrote something down in it. Gave it to the girl sitting beside him. She wrote something down into it, and they slammed it shut, slammed it down, got up during the message and stormed out the back door and slammed the door. The preaching still going on. They mocked it. They didn't want anything to do with it. 15 minutes later, they were dead. Car crash right up the road killed them. When that took place, they went back to get that church hymnal. It had written something down in it, and they found where the boy had written these words, "I will take my chances." And the young girl said, "Me too." Are you listening? God's a God of grace. God's a God of mercy. But God had had enough, my friends. It's time that people who are lost forget about what the world says, forget about what their family says, forget about anything on this earth that is temporary, and look to the righteous judgment of God and say, "God, please show mercy on me. Save my soul." If you do that, are you listening? He'll save you. And He'll take you to heaven when you die. There are names in the newspaper today of folks who've died and went out into eternity. This week, it's not a happy thought. I'm talking about myself as well. This week, my name may be in that paper. And your name may be too. And if it is, are you really ready? Are you really ready? I share this story right here, and I am closing. You have my word. Remember when the Bible says in the book of Revelation 20, verse 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I'm closing with this illustration. To say I have the book of life in my hands, really, it is a book of life, but the book of life that has the names of all born-again children of God. God makes no mistakes. If He writes your name down in it, it's because you trusted Christ as your Savior. There are no wrong names in this book. Say that God walked in here, and I'm seated down here with my wife right here. Say that God is holding. Now, please don't go home and say the preacher said He was God. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just using for illustration's sake. Say that God is right here, and He's walking around with the book of life. And He says, here's my book. The only names in this book are those who are saved. I make no mistakes. I leave the open door, and I'm a gracious God, and I'm a loving God, but my grace and my patience will not last forever. And He says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand you the book. If your name's in here, you're going with me to heaven, but if they're not, you're going to be left behind and you're going to go to hell. If He handed you the book of life, do you know without a doubt? Don't shake your head, don't answer this out loud, just quietly in your heart. Do you know without a doubt, if God handed you the book of life, do you know your name is there? If it is, something inside of you ought to be saying, whoop, man, that feels good. But if it's not, you know the great thing about salvation? God is a God of grace. And He's offering salvation to you today. Will you say yes? Or will you take your chances? Let's all bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love You today. We thank You for Your goodness to us. Lord, I know that this day is a day of rejoicing for God's children. We serve a risen Savior. We're on our way to heaven. But at the same time, the same resurrection that guarantees God's child heaven guarantees the lost world judgment. Help us to see this. And help somebody today to stop playing games. Help somebody today to trust You as their Savior. Help somebody today to say yes to Jesus. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. I want to ask you this question. Which judgment are you going to be present at? There's only two. There's those for Christians, the judgment seat, and there's those for non-believers, the great white throne. Have you say, Jody, if I die just like I am, thank God I know I am not going to the great white throne. Let me verify what that means. That means that you know, you don't hope, you don't think, you know without a doubt, no doubt, that you are going to heaven. You have trusted Christ, no question about it. And you say, Jody, thank God that if He calls my name, I know I am going to heaven. I'm not putting my faith in baptism. I'm not putting it in good works. I'm not putting it in church membership. I'm not putting it in anything I've done. I put my faith and trust in the finished work of Christ on Calvary, His death, His burial, His resurrection. I'm glad I'm saved. If you know that, no question. Quietly, quickly, if you wouldn't mind, would you raise your hand all over this auditorium? You say, I know I've done that. I know I've trusted Christ. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Thank you for being honest. Now, there are some here today who could not raise your hand. May I say this to you today? Thank you for being honest. Bible salvation starts with you getting honest before God. And may I say to you that all of us who could raise our hands saying we're glad we're saved, there was a day when somebody asked us that question where we could not raise our hand either. There was a day when all believers were non-believers, is what I'm saying. You're not alone. Is there one today, say, Jody, you were preaching today and you were preaching about the righteous judgment of God and you were talking about how God's going to call my name, and right now I'm not ready. I'm not a Christian. Or maybe you just have doubts about it. This message is not made to cause you to doubt. God's not in people doubting. God wants you to get things settled. But is there one today, say, Jody, now listen, I'm going to ask you to come join this church. We're not even going to let you join this church today. This is not about coming to this church. This is not about going to the baptistry. This is not about turning over a new leaf. This is about you and Christ, you trusting Christ as your Savior. How many did they say, Jody, I could not raise my hand to that question you asked a minute ago, but in my heart, I would like to be able to. Now, we're not going to come to your seat. We're not going to call you out. We're not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for the world. But you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I want to make sure on this Easter morning that if God calls my name next, and friends, He could call your name next. And if He does, I don't want to take my chances like that teenage boy and girl did. I want to trust Christ. I want to be ready. I want to know the Lord as my Savior. Is there somebody like that? Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Is there somebody like that? God bless you. Somebody else? You can put your hand right back down. Put it up. Put it right back down. Anybody at all, you say, Jody, pray for me. I need to make sure I'm a Christian. I want to know I'm saved. I don't want to go off into eternity not knowing Jesus as my Savior. Is there anybody along with this one, say, Jody, pray for me. I want to make sure. I want to know. I want to know. Let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. Thank God I'm going to the judgment seat. But I'm not too proud of my works right now. I'll never stand judgment for my sin, but God's speaking to me as His child, and I need to be doing more for Him. Not to be saved, but because you already are saved and out of a heart of gratitude, you see. Have you say, Jody, pray for me. I'm a Christian, but God's speaking to me about this. Be honest, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? God bless you. God bless you. Many hands, many hands. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest. You can put your hands right back down. I want to ask this final question here. How many people are you telling about the judgment coming sometime in the future? We put a lot of emphasis on telling other people about the Lord. Maybe God is speaking to you about sharing the gospel more. My friends, that unsaved loved one, that unsaved family member, that unsaved mate or child or grandparent or parent or co-worker or teammate, those unsaved people that maybe you're thinking of right now, they also have a date with God. God wants to save them. Maybe God's dealing with you about that. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take these thoughts, use them, break people's hearts. Somebody needs to be saved. Help them to come. Let us take a Bible and share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody needs to come as a Christian and say, God, help me to be more prepared for the judgment seat. Somebody may want to come and pray for their unsaved loved one. Whatever it is, help us to do business with you. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If God is speaking to you, would you leave your place and come? As he sings, leave your place and come now. Would you do that?
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See, on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home. Tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
Playing through softly, folks have responded. Maybe there's somebody listening to me right now that you've been saved. You've asked Jesus to come into your heart. You've trusted Christ and Christ alone. Maybe you've never made it public. Maybe you haven't told people about it. God doesn't want you to be ashamed. If I'm speaking to somebody today who's trusted Christ, why don't you come and say, I want God's people to know that I've been saved. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. And I'm not ashamed of that. Or maybe there's some folks that's been visiting the church and you feel like this is the place that God has for you to worship. And you'd like to come join this church. by statement or by letter. Maybe God is dealing with you. Is there anybody here that would like to come and say, I want you to know that I've been saved, I've trusted Christ. Why don't you come and we'll rejoice with you. We'll rejoice with you. May the Lord help you. Amen. If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way just a moment. Unusual resurrection Sunday morning service, right? Unusual message for the resurrection. My friends, we must preach the whole counsel of God. God says because Jesus raised from the dead, we have a date with Him. May the Lord help us with this. This is Carmela. We're so glad you're here. You have some precious children, no question about it. Been coming on the bus, correct? So, she's standing beside my beautiful wife. My wife and I had the privilege of going by Carmela's place a couple of weeks ago. Carmela had been asking some questions and so on. We had the privilege of sitting in her living room, sharing the gospel with her. And Carmela, the best you know how, you've trusted Christ as your Savior, correct? You're there in your living room when you bowed your head and asked Jesus to come into your heart. You meant that the best you know how, right? And according to God's word, when you trusted Christ, He saved your soul. Now your children have a mama who can teach them in the ways of God. We want you to stay in here with us. I've written the booklet entitled Stepping in the Light. And I'm not only speaking to you, I'm speaking to others too here. Because some people are not aware of this, and you might want to get a book like this and go through it. But it's for folks that's made a decision just like you. Now that you're a baby in Christ, how do you grow up to be an adult? You see what I'm saying? There's steps that God wants you to take, stepping in the light. I'd love for my wife to take that book. And every Sunday morning during Sunday school, she can take you into my office and go through that book with you and help you. I hope you hope you're challenged with this, and I hope you'll accept that and let us help you. So many things I want to talk to you about. Have you happy for us? Say a big amen. Are you listening to me? It's not easy for somebody to come with this many people in a church service. But she's coming because she's not ashamed to be identified with Jesus Christ. We're so proud of you. Amen. Wonderful. Now, I know many of you ladies, emphasis on ladies, come by and hug her. Amen. Not you men, don't you hug her now. But you ladies come by and hug her. You men want to come by and shake her hand and let her know you're proud of her. And we love you around here. We want to help you, okay? God bless you. Wonderful. Then we have Sherry, is it Veach? Am I right? And Cheyenne Porter. Did I say your first name right, Cheyenne? Both of you, precious children, are coming today and you're trusting Christ as your Savior. Am I right? You got saved today, correct? You trusted Christ as your Savior today. Have you happy for these two girls? Would you say a big amen? Wonderful. We're so glad. So proud of you. Wonderful. What we're going to do is have Miss Stephanie go ahead and take you all out, okay? And we want to make sure that you get to your bus and all these kind of things here. That'll be good. All right? Hope you'll be back tonight, 6:30. I'll be right in your place. We're going back to another night scene of Scripture tonight. Hope you'll be right here with that. Carmela, if you'll stay right there with my wife, if many people want to come by and shake your hand. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Bless the visitors. Help them, Lord, I pray, and help all of us who are here faithfully to be faithful to you. And may you help us to keep this thought in our minds in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, folks. Thank you for coming. Have a great Easter afternoon. Hope to see you tonight. You visitors, there's a visitor center out in the lobby out there.